Yes, hello Frank. Nice to meet you here around your, how would you call this art you have around you? It is kind of recreation, and but you better tell me what it is, what we see here and what we see on the photo.
I was forced to build this because I want to have shelter for my artwork. I also saw that it's also about time to share this. So I designed this as some kind of a community space for the people. But this is nascent. This is a work in progress. I want to, in a way, democratize art, transcend the division, the usually of the high art and the low art, because I believe that the masses, the lowly people, also have right to art, which our, what they call, society, in a way, it's very divisive. Yeah. So,
And what is this, what we see? I mean, this is all quite religious, isn't it?
Just one part, but mostly my writing and my artworks are very political. They delve on commentaries on the environment, on what people are doing with their consumerism. They're just throwing away everything. And I really thought that it's about time that we artists themselves should take this up, this matter, because last October, and this is the outcome, the flooding even reached this far. So I really think that I should continue this. So this is going to continue, I mean, expand. In fact, I already have a plan for that. Now I have lined up some trainings here for writing, because I also teach journalism, and then of course art in literature. So this is making art accessible to those who. Right?
I mean, this is part of your history. I think you have come a long way. I think in the 70s when you were part of the first Bicolana writing group that was funded?
Yeah, I think it was inevitable because the martial law years was really a time of repression.
Which started in 1970s.
Yeah. When Marcos declared martial law. And we were actually hoping that we would be handling the school organ. Suddenly, it was banned. So I personally looked for a way to express my creativity, because I was hoping to go to Manila to take up fine arts, which is actually my first time. And I went to writing, which was a cheaper way to express your creativity. So the first chances that I have to, I was able to express myself creatively was really in writing. It was only when I came back to Bicol after working for two decades in Manila that I went back to my first lab, that is art, visual arts.
Okay, and this writing in earlier years, I mean, it was quite unique because, I mean, you were taking, in a way, advantage, or you, in a way, you try to reenact the old Bicolana culture, in a way, isn't it? Because this was, and what Christian told me, that you were responsible for the renaissance of the Bicol language, in a way, and I mean, but how was it before? I mean, was Bicol not anymore as a language recognized?
It was more used by those in the media, radio, broadcast, but that the printed one. There was a time when I attended a meeting, just a gathering of writers from Manila and Cebuano, and we were conversing, but they were talking their own, so in their own language. So that made me, oh, what's going on? what am I going to do with, because in high school we had an Irish American Jesuit priest who wrote a book on Bicol. He was an inspiration. I think it was just really in time that I would be heeding and expressing what he taught us, for us to love Bicol. And my way was really to start writing in Bicol, but not the Bicol which is spoken in Naga. It's only lately that I also started writing in my own language here.
The Bicol spoken here.
Bicol, yeah, Rinconada.
Yeah, because there are four main lines of Bicol, isn't it?
We have seven.
You have seven. And are they, I mean, can you understand each other, or is it quite difficult?
We understand each other, except the place we're going to go today, which really has a different vocabulary, everything. Yes. And it's only how many, 10 or 10 kilometers.
Yeah.
I think I took the right path, because end of the 90s, as we entered the new millennium, we were already able to convene a group of students who were individuals who were interested in, who have similar interest in literature and culture. We were actually able to gather some 175 people, and there was one of the surprise guests was a 75-year-old man who recited from memory what he said was a oral poem, which he...
So some kind of chanting or...
Yeah, chanting.
Yeah, yeah.
Fortunately, the institute, which the old Aquinas University, which is now the University of Santo Tomas, was able to record that. And that started it. By as we entered the new millennium, 90s, there were already new and young writers. And one of the most successful, and of course, I'm very satisfied with that, contented, is Christian.
Okay.
I mean, he has the energy, he has the youth, and he has the vision.
Yeah. But I think what I've learned from people in Manila is that if you go to the students at the richer universities, they don't want to, I mean, they only want English. I mean, they don't want the local language at all. I mean, professors find it very hard to teach it. So, but for you in this area, would you say there has been a change that people do now acknowledge and do write in Bicolana? Or is it still difficult?
It's not a very thorny issue, but there are groups who have taken a position of questioning the so-called single language ideology, that this believes that if a country has one language, it will be progressive. No, we do not subscribe to that, because we believe that a nation, as Anderson said, is really just an imagined community. In the Philippines, it's an archipelago. We are so diversified. Forgetting and erasing our own languages is also erasing our own humanity. That's why we're strong in that we should have so-called Institute of Filipino Languages, not only one.
Not only one, that's right.
Because it's very difficult to institutionalize or legislate a language. We are more of having it evolve.
Yeah.
Let the people speak. And fortunately, while a senator lately and the president approved it to scrap the mother tongue based, we have a group based in Manila, but this is composed of several language groups, which filed a case in Supreme Court questioning that. Our primary reason is that it's violative of the United Nations provision that a child has a right to his first language. Second, there's no guarantee that if we will be using English and the so-called Tagalog, we will be progressive, because we believe, personally I believe, that language is not the issue. It's government corruption, yes. Government priority, because we have seen that the development paradigm of the national government is so urban centered. You go down from Luzon, you go to Bicol, besides Mindanao, we are a continuing picture.
Yes, you can see it from the roads. The roads becoming smaller and smaller, and of course this is government intention. You can control a region better if the roads are bad. I mean, I
believe in Schumacher, small is beautiful. I mean, if we can manage, and because I believe in the communities.
Yeah.
I mean, because they know each other.
Yeah.
I think the kind of politics that we have is really a good groundwork or laboratory for corruption, which is
of course. I mean, at courts they speak English. I mean, and people sometimes don't understand what they are accused of because they are talking English, which they don't speak properly.
You just touch a recent proposal of a senator. To have our legal system as well as the constitution be written also in...
Of course, the constitution needs to be in local language and not in the language of the colonizer.
Thanks for asking that, because we had really been wanting to have that. And but I think it's going to be a small step or a slow movement, but we have to start somewhere. Otherwise, the big hegemonic Manila will really swallow us.
It's true. It's true. But you have started a long time ago, and you're still struggling and continuing the struggle. I mean, that is.
But I think we're already making a dent. Even writers are now touching or commenting about recent issues in politics. Only that in the visual arts, I haven't seen its role in really involving, engaging in political issue, which is probably a survival thing, but it's not going to make us survive if we're just going to let these politicians do their thing.
It's true. Well, what is more important for you in these days, the writing or the visual arts?
I think I'm able to do it because my involvement in I am part of a national CSO, civil society organization, and we're on funding, giving grants to environmental projects.
Yeah.
And this is giving me a forum also to expand my writing as well as my art. In fact, last year I conducted an art and writing workshop in Limasawa in the Visayas, and because I noticed that most of our campaign were written, which people really do not understand. So when I sat in the board, I proposed that we go to the community and let them see why involving with the environment should be done, and I was happy because the art workshop where I asked the school children to gather garbage on the seashore.
Yeah,
I let them transform them into an artwork, and after which I asked them to write anything about it. I discovered one girl who had been very silent all along, and the teacher said she hasn't spoken for since the last typhoon, the big typhoon, and it turned out that she lost her mother's siblings, and that was the only time that she was able to speak. And after that, she was already very active. So, art has a place in environmental.
So kind of art therapy. You know, that's, yeah, yeah. That's, yeah.
But
yeah.
I said, oh, is I that's my point of incompetence. So we need a psychiatrist here to really let the children process what they have undergone. So there's no problem for me in melding and using this, because this is a gift. You may call it divine. But now, I draw inspiration from my own involvement with the people. The people, the grassroots is, we'll provide you the reason for writing, for painting.
Great.
So I do not run out of ideas. And I really appreciate that you're coming, and also for us to show and share also our experiences.
Okay. Thank you very much for this interview.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks very much.